Welcome to Conscious Communication, the podcast that can help you improve your company's culture and better your team's communication, helping you build more significant relationships. Now here's your host, Philip Bogolub.
I have the privilege and honor of talking with Wendy Sellers, an easy name I can pronounce and not screw up. I screw up. My audience knows I screw it up all the time. Wendy is the HR lady. I love that. She's the HR lady. It's like James Bond. But she is the Yoda of HR. That's mine, not hers. So, it's like, oh, Yoda, tell me the right way. That's why she's on this show. Her expertise stems from over 25 years of personal experience. She brings direction out of confusion, committed to providing practical solutions without hidden agendas. I want to read that again. She brings direction out of confusion. And you could do that at work. You could do that in your mind. You could do it in your family life. Because one, they both kind of work the same. You're unhappy at work. You're unhappy at home. Unhappy at home. It all goes over. It's committed to providing practical solutions without hidden agendas. Wendy, thank you for being on the show today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Wow. Now, I'm going to ask you, what was that serendipity, that accident, that coincidence, those things in the mind that happen to you along the way? You just didn't wake up one day and going, I'm going to be an HR lady. I'm going to do this. What was that thing that kind of guided you along the way to get into where you are? And I'm sure there's lots of stories, but what comes to mind first to understand where you came from, where that started?
Sure. Thanks for asking. I definitely did not wake up or ever in my life think, yeah, I'm going to be in love with HR because it's no way. And any sane person would not think that, right? Or people who think, oh, I'm going to go help people. And then you get into it and you're like, I don't know if I'm really helping people. And this is a lot and stressful. So I went to college for healthcare administration and got into that. And it was like, I hate this. This is way not my personality style. I was moved to Florida kind of on a whim from Northeastern Pennsylvania. And I was in an elevator with we used to have these things called paper resumes. And somebody walked in and said, hey, I'm a staffing agency. You looking for a job? I said, yeah. They said, can you do HR? I go, eh. I've managed retail and restaurants. I'm sure I could figure it out. And that's it. So I started HR that way. And then I did go back to school and got another master's degree in human resources and 700 certifications and licenses. So, I did get the education behind it, right. But it really was on a whim.
Well, yeah, but it was those little guidance. And I believe those little things that happen in life that just kind of push you in that direction. And the audience and what the show's about, it's not just being the job and what you do and how you consciously communicate, but how you got there and what you were listening to in your mind, those little accidents, I call them serendipities, accident, coincidence, well, those little things that happened to you that pushed you in that direction. So it's interesting to notice that because you didn't need to follow it, but it was something that was like, yeah, okay, let's try it. Aware that the other thing you were doing didn't work for you. It just wasn't working.
Right. 100%. And when I was in, assistant manager, supervisor positions before in operations, I leaned towards more of the employee relations and the feedback. So it was already in my head. Again, didn't know it until that elevator literally opened and I walked in and said, ta-da, here I am.
Yeah. And it's just interesting how little things happen. I was just telling Wendy before the mic was on about the musical and how these things just happen. I wrote this thing a year and a half ago and I just wait. And I'm like, okay, I'll just meditate on this. I do a lot of meditations for myself and what I teach and stuff. And it's important to me because I need quiet time. And it's like, all right, you know what? I'm just going to wait. A year and a half later, things started happening. And you have to be aware of it. You have to be consciously aware of it and make sure, people always tell me this, you need to know when you're in the right place at the right time. I said, but sometimes in my life, I was there, but afterwards I go, that was the right place at the right time, but it's too late. It's gone. So you have to be kind of involved with what your mind is doing and how it's working and how you're functioning and who you're listening to and what you're listening to. So a thing I want to talk about that people keep talking about over and over and over at nauseam, is retention. And it's like a big word now. Everybody, retention. Now, I know in what I do and what my audience knows and what I teach out there, but I want it from the human resources person. And the second person I've interviewed in since 22, and it's because I don't find a lot of people that they're good. I'm sure they're very good, and there's nobody in particular. I never would say anybody anyway, but you bring the human back into resources. Human resources has a really bad rap. I understand that.
Yep.
A place I used to work for wasn't a really functional manager there. She had all the degrees and all the licensing and all this stuff, but it was not good. And it's, you know, you have to have that thing. So, you know, tell me about retention and how you affect it, how it affects the top down and all this other stuff.
Sure. Just give everybody $1 million bonuses and you'll be fine. Everything will be great.
But then nobody will show up.
It's not all right. Right. They might, because they want the next bonus the next year, but that doesn't mean they're going to do what you want them to do. Be productive, refer people, be engaged, you know, have the best practices that you need and want. So the biggest thing right now with retention, attraction and retention is, first of all, there's not enough qualified humans to do the jobs that we need now. And so what we needed 5 years ago, never mind 10, 20 years ago, were different skills. And generally speaking, the businesses, companies, they've always said, oh, we're going to do training. We're going to do training. We're going to do training. And then they never did because it costs money and they didn't want to dip into their profit, right?
Yep.
And that's kind of where we're at now. The world changed because of COVID, for the good and for the bad in some areas too, you know, death, that's not good. Right. But it did change where people can choose where they want to work a little bit more and if they want to work remote or in person. And so if you're not you as a business owner or a business leader are not changing your business and your business practices to today's needs, to employees' needs today, I don't care if they're 60 years old, 40 years old or 20 years old. You have to ask your employees, what do you want today? What do you need today? How can I help you get there? And what else can I, business owner, do differently so that I can get you, employee, to do what I want you to do?
Yeah.
And then I'll pay you for that.
Yeah. And I think it is important. It's been changing for years. You're talking about the paper resume. Oh my God, please. Remembering when I got out of college and I had to do that like yellowy type soft paper. And I don't remember what it was called. You put it in the yellow envelope. You put all your experience, you mailed it there. And then, you know, you followed up with thank you for this. And then, you know, but retention, it really is, goes back a long way. It's just, I understand what you're talking about. There's a lot has changed, but it's, you know, the old saying, the more it changes, the more it stays the same. People are still people. And whether you're 20, 40 or 70, it doesn't really matter. It's always been a problem in corporate world, because I was in most of my life in corporate world. You'd go to these seminars. Well, first of all, two types of seminars. The ones that they, one guy, real corny, is rolling up his sleeves. Now let's get our hands dirty. I'm like, you're not going to teach me anything. And you go to these classes, and these are outside sources. Not to say they're bad. It didn't work for me, and it didn't work for our company. Because I worked in the sales and marketing department. I was the engineer, the tech support guy, but I didn't sell anything. But I learned a lot. These guys are very different with the sales stuff and the marketing stuff. But when you do that, they give you these things to take, tests and homework. It sits in the side of your desk at office, then it goes to your home, and then it goes in the garbage. And it's the same thing with these training courses. We used to go off grid. It was a factory I worked for, and I was, you know, we'd go in to these classes, you know, at the local, you know, whatever club down the road, the golf club or whatever, do it for 2 days, make everybody feel good. And so, well, we're going to do this, this, and this, and this. They did nothing. And people would come up to me and goes, Phil.
Yeah.
Am I understanding this? It's like every time we do this, it just makes you feel good for a minute and nothing happens. It's like, yeah, unfortunately. Yep. And I brought it up to one of the managers. I brought it up to the general manager of our, because we are a subsidiary of another big company. And I brought it up to this manager and he said, well, you know, we're going to get to it. They ask you, just tell we'll get to it. And I shouldn't have blurted it out, but I said, but yeah, but so-and-so, you never get to it. And he just said, we'll get to it. And that was it. He didn't hold anything against me. I wasn't being mean. But that's the problem with this stuff, is understanding, like, or like interview. Oh, this one. So retention is something, asking them, what are they doing there? What's their purpose here? Are they here because they need a job? Are they here because they want to advance themselves? And what we need to do, it's collaboration. You have to collaborate. But things take time to change. One of the things that drives me crazy, and has always driven me crazy, and it's still the same thing. Even my wife, she's an actuary. She's been in a company for like 36 years. The stupid reviews. Well, because actuaries is like four. There's only like four actuaries in the world. I always make fun of it, but there's not that many. It's a very unique skill. But she does these reviews, and I used to do the reviews in my office. And one time, I wrote in there and go, da 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 da, and you're not really reading this at all. I know you're not. And I did my review. I knew he didn't, because he didn't read that sentence. So how can you incorporate and transform that review process, because it's old, outdated. It's been going on forever. to something that's collaborative, something that makes a difference.
Yeah, it's interesting that you said that, because right before this our call today, I was looking, what do I have coming up in my trainings? And in a couple of weeks, I have a training for an online training company, and it's called No More Performance Reviews. You know, and it's really about no more outdated performance reviews, because feedback should be going on all the time.
Yes.
Period.
Yes.
All the time. It is so much more time consuming to be a manager today. And so, you know, many people take a management position because it pays more, not necessarily because they want to be a manager.
Or they're qualified.
I'm sorry. In this day and age, who in their right mind would choose to be a manager without like a giant, I don't know, incentive of some sort, because you got to be HR, you got to be safety, you got to be ops, you got to be accounting, you got to be hiring, you got to terminate, you got to give feedback, and then you got your own job to do too. So right. Not many people, and especially younger people, are saying, yeah, sign me up for management. They're like, wait, it's $5,000 more. No, thank you. I don't think so. I want to have my nights and weekends to myself. So I'm not going to do that.
Right.
So getting back to your question though, about performance reviews, or how you get around, you know, not doing them. I am one of the few HR people, I cannot stand performance reviews. If we did it the right way, if we did it the effective way, not just the right way, the effective way, we would be having regular conversations with our employees all the time. And they should be scheduled conversations. They might be 5 minutes sometimes, and they might be an hour and a half. When I do in-person or online training with managers, my managers usually say, oh man, here she comes. I'm like, I know you're going to hate me by the end of today, but you're going to see, just trust me and follow through on this process. Cause they're like, we have so much on our plate. And you just told me that I have to schedule 15 meetings every 2 weeks because I have 15 employees. That's going to take a lot more time away from what I've got to do. And I'm like, well, too bad. Suck it up, Buttercup. Be a leader. People will follow. You know, that's the name of my book, Suck It Up, Buttercup.
Yeah.
And it talks about, you know, be a leader, people will follow. And the leaders that we willingly follow, not that we have to follow or comply with, but the leaders that we willingly follow, they know what we're doing. They know what we want to do in our work life at a minimum. They know what our goals are, what our passions are, what training we're asking for. They're granting that training. They're making sure that that's happening. And the managers and the employees are on the same page, you know, majority of the time, where they're saying, okay, I know what you're doing. I know what you're slacking at, what you're doing better at, what you need help at, versus, I don't know, maybe I'll talk to you in 6 months and see how things are going. Oh, well, you know, I tried to talk to you, manager, 3 months ago, and you wouldn't comply. You wouldn't give me any feedback. So here's my notice, because I got a great job interview somewhere else, and they actually have a full a feedback program. And they make sure that it happens. And it says it all over their website, all over the internet. All the reviews about this company are a great company. That's the company I want to work with, not just some nice guy who says, good job. But that's it. What do you mean, good job? Yeah. You know, what were my goals? What were my KPIs? And how did I do? And if I didn't do good, you know, what are you, manager? What are you going to do to help me improve? Isn't that your job? And so, you know, I'm very hesitant of pointing the finger at managers, even though it sounds like I am, because they're often just put into management positions out of desperation. The employee says, I want more. And then the company goes, oh, be a manager. But by the way, we're not going to give you any training. We're just going to give you a lot more responsibility and a little bit more money, but no training. Then what happens is the employee who's been there for a while, who just wrongly got promoted to a manager, they walk out the door and their team leaves with them. That's why we're talking about retention.
Well, yeah. And it's been going on. People go, oh, it's just the past few years. It's been going on a long time.
Oh, it's been going on forever.
Yeah. And I always say you're comfortable being uncomfortable in something you're familiar with. It's better to be uncomfortable and miserable, but it's easy. You don't have to think about it. I had one manager when I got out of college years, long time ago. He said, if you're working more than 40 hours a week, we need to sit down. You're doing your job wrong. You know, and I didn't understand what he meant. And what he meant was, you need to prioritize. You need to make sure you don't do more than what you're capable of doing. You get somebody else to do this, get somebody else to do that. But it's understanding that the mindset is different as a manager. We hired somebody. So I went back to school, took advantage of it, my tuition reimbursement, and got my MBA. I only got my MBA for one reason as an adult, because just in case some knucklehead said, you have an engineering degree, but you don't have an MBA. Well, I still got this supervisory position. It was doing my regular job, plus was doing something in the laboratory. And no, it's not Frankenstein. It was X-ray tubes. but anyway, I was very different. I never talked to them. I said, you come to me. Well, they knew me too. Said, you come to me. It was three people. So you come to me. You need something. I'm not going to ask if you need it. You know me. Come to me and ask me. I think it was doing that supervisory position for about 8 months. And then they said, no, he doesn't have time, or my managers, I made time. It really isn't that difficult. But two of the people out of the three came up to me personally and went into a conference room and said, you're the best manager I ever had. I said, why? What did I do? He goes, that's what you didn't do. You didn't tell me what to do. Because they knew me enough to know that. And if they didn't, I would have said, hey, if you don't belong here, you're not going to be here. They were doing their jobs. And I don't remember, maybe they asked one or two things. I don't remember, but I really wasn't bothered with that because I viewed that it's if you're in the wrong position and you're not getting a job, Wendy's not going to tell me if she's working for me. All the other people are going to come up going, Wendy doesn't know what she's doing. Could you please get rid of this?
Right.
But then people don't want to deal with it. I had to deal with getting rid of somebody in between. It was another part of the, it's a long story. It's not important. The whole idea is I had to get rid of somebody because this person was doing the wrong thing and inappropriate stuff and weird stuff and blah, blah, blah. Is it easy? No. So I had to, what are you saying? Suck it up, buttercup. I should have had that phrase tattooed on my head. And, you know how to do it because I know I'm treating people the way I want to be treated. And this person was totally fine with it. I don't remember this exact conversation, but I practiced it and practiced it and going, remembering that, you know, whether I view it as wrong or somebody didn't like them, I had to do this job because no one wants to fire somebody. No one wants to lay people off. No one wants. But if you're in it for just the money, but you're not in it to, you know, for those the reviews you're talking about, if you're in it and you feel like you're a collaborative team and you're whether in a small business or a big business, that old mindset is so instilled in our culture. And I'm sure in the other cultures, they have their own stuff. But in the North America area, it's just stuck there. The same review. Now, my wife's manager meets with her once a month. They barely talk sometimes for 5 minutes. I like that because, you know, somebody says, well, if you have a problem, come and see me in 3 months. You know, and we'll go over the review and your objectives. Nobody does anything, you know. But if you know, when I laid it out in these particular jobs in the laboratory, that was like, hey, come and you need something because it wasn't that complicated. They were testing things. I knew what they were doing. You need some equipment. You need something's not working. Something's not getting fixed. Just come to me. I'll talk to the other manager, get it done. Nothing ever happened. Now, if I was in that position longer, I probably would have found out. But the whole idea of changing, and that's the thing with people, HR lady, please tell me, how do you pivot, fancy business term, right? Pivot or move people along a different route because they're used to doing it this way. So somebody hires the HR lady and says, I'm having a problem. I'm stuck. And then you say, well, you need to do this, pivot, whatever word you want to use. But they're like, yeah, but I don't know how to do that. And it's very uncomfortable. So that's the thing, I think, more than anything with human beings. It's uncomfortable. How do you kind of bring that up and how do you guide them?
Don't throw anything at them. Even though we want to, right?
Yes, that's true. The first thing.
I mean, humans are frustrating. Humans are complex. And, you know, there's no, you know, answer to every single problem with like, oh, for this thing, this is what you always do. And unfortunately, that's the old school training, like do this and this only. You sit down and have a conversation with them. You know, it could be, hey, I've noticed you're struggling. What's going on? Are you happy here? Do you need training? You know, there could be something going on in their life that before you're going in like the monster, here we come, all this in the middle of the conversation, you find out there was just a death in their family. You're like,
right,
goodness, I'm the jerk. I'm the jerk now because I didn't talk to my employee or my coworker even as a human being with empathy first. We learn so much by just listening. And I say this in my book, shut up and listen. You know, have that smile on your face.
Yeah.
Shut up and listen. Take notes if you need to, but shut up and listen and then act off of what you've heard. You may have to ask more questions because the person may not be explaining it the right way. But when you want people to do something a different way than they're doing it, you have to train them. That could be a 2-minute training or it might be an entire course. And the other thing I wanted to say is maybe you're not the person that should be doing the training. Not everybody is a good trainer, right? You can be the best engineer in the world, but you're horrible at training. So maybe you work with the trainer to say, this is what I need them to know. Can you train them? I'll be there to help coach them through the process. And I could even be part of the training activity, but I'm not going to stand up in the room and do it because that is not what my specialty is.
Right.
So training is so, so important. But people just get scared of the word training because they immediately think, I have to go to a 40-hour course. No, I'm going to train you right now. It's going to take 7 minutes. Oh, okay. That's a little bit different. And then providing them with the tools that they need. So if you're saying, well, you need to use this form for, you know, a performance improvement plan. Okay. Where do I get that form? And how come I didn't know it existed before?
Right.
You know, helping people, the communication part, conscious communication. Oh, go to the internet. Hold on. Show me what that is. I'm new here. How do I get there? Where do I go on the internet? How do I log in? Am I allowed to edit these forms or do I have to use them as is? In my old company, I was in charge of everything. Nope, not here. There's a process. Somebody improves, you know, step one, step two, step three. So we're consistent. Why do we want to be consistent? So we don't end up in court or worse than court is on the news.
Yes,
so,
yes.
You know, it's super important to realize that even if you're hiring somebody with 25, 30 years experience and they're going to take over the HR department, you still have to explain to them how your culture works, what the expectations are, maybe some share some horror stories and minus names of what happened in the past. They might be new in your industry too, where your industry is very, you know, quality control. And that means everybody in the organization has to be very highly detailed, where other industries say, yeah, just wing it. We're good to go. No problem. We're more of an entrepreneur mode. So we just forget. We just assume that individuals come in, regardless, again, if they're 20 years old, 40 years old, 60 years old, they'll figure it out. How about we don't wait to see if they'll figure it out? How about we put a training program together, a new hire orientation and onboarding. After a new hire has been here for just 1 week, let's have them complete a survey. 1 week, 2 weeks, three Ooh. Weeks, not waiting for 90 days. Hi, you're at your 90-day mark. Now's my time to tell you that you suck. A, don't use those terms. But B, why did you wait so long? And grab a mirror, because if your new hire has a problem and you're the one that hired them, guess whose fault it is?
You are.
The one in the mirror.
That's yeah. Right.
Grab that mirror. You might be part of the problem.
Well, it's like when I tell people, I said, you know, in life, it's like you question what you have. You're comfortable being uncomfortable with something you're familiar with. Like I said earlier, bad job, bad relationship. Everybody can relate to that at some point in their life. And one of the things we don't have to, but one of the things we're kind of have come to is everything has to be digital. And I want your perspective on this, HR lady, because she is the HR lady, the Yoda of HR.
The HR lady. Two trademarks on that. The HR lady.
Oh, really? Just HR lady. It's the HR lady.
The HR lady.
There you go. But understanding that you need to have personal involvement. You need to have one-on-ones. I understand people work remote and blah, 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 blah. Have a video call. Have it once a month. Like you said, even if it's 5 minutes long. But then there's times where you need to spend the money and the time to maybe have everybody come together in one place once a year or once every quarter or once every other quarter to be able to handshake. And you know what? I've learned as an engineer, building a medical device, you had to go from A to Z. If you missed J, it didn't work. It's physics. This is the way it is. But in life, it's also physics in a different way because it just doesn't work. If you're missing that J, you know, you have that energy in between people that you can't get on a Zoom call. You can't get on a phone call. You've got to meet in person. When I used to go and travel all over the world with stuff, I used to go with the sales and marketing people once in a while. I said, there's certain cultures that want to meet you. There's certain cultures that don't care. But most people at least want to meet you once in a while. So it's important to mix what I call the analog and the digital side. It's great to have courses. It's great to have a video conversation. It's great to this, but it's really important. We have to have human contact because I understand everything's remote and blah, 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 blah. That's wonderful. But you still need that human. We weren't designed to be sitting, shaking hands with a TV screen. You know, so how do you feel about, how do you mix those two together in the new the new age of, and it's not just since COVID. This has been going on for a long time. It's been slowly ramping up. It just went on steroids. But how do you put that human back into human beings?
Yeah, the human and human resources as well, too, right?
Exactly.
So we hire these things called human beings, and then we expect them to operate like robots, but they're not robots. And we have such a, you know, a variety in generations in our workforce, you know, from baby boomers who are still in the workforce and will be for quite some time by choice or by no choice, really.
Yeah, right.
Gen X, millennials, Gen Z. They're so unique. And, you know, I personally love remote. Other people, their personality styles don't like remote. And so if you are a company that you have decided majority, if not all your positions are going to be remote, you better be using Zoom, Microsoft Teams, whatever it might
something.
Be,
yeah.
Like it's your best friend. You better be on those video calls every single day instead of saying, hey, give me a call on the phone. No, let's jump on a Zoom and video is necessary, right?
Yes.
What we're doing right here with our hand gestures behind the scenes and everything here, but it's definitely, it
animated.
Helps though. Yeah. I mean, even when I do my podcast, the HR Lady podcast, we don't do video, but we do it just to help communicate. And we know that only the audio is going, but we do it to communicate so that we could communicate behind the scenes. But we have to, first of all, let our employees know what to expect. So when you're interviewing people or when you're just moving from fully in person or partially in person to fully remote or even partially remote, you do need to let them know that you will be on a video call pretty much every single day, even if it's a 10-minute call. So be prepared. You don't have to be dressed up and everything, but you do need to look presentable and you need to have some kind of privacy if you have, you know, kids running around or something like that. At this point in time, yeah, but even if you don't close the door, it actually opens up conversations too. You get to, okay, when we used to go to work, I mainly work remote now. And when you used to go to work, though, you grab your cup of tea, your cup of coffee. Hey, what'd you do this weekend? Oh, my kid, this. Let me show you the pictures.
Right.
Well, now we have the thing of the dogs running by, the cats running by. And, you know, some people want their private life private, and that's fine. You have to, as a manager or as a human, understand that not everybody likes what you like, and not everybody's open to sharing information that you're like. And you got to learn that and respect those boundaries. But when they do talk about it, oh, look at my new puppy, or look at this, you know, poster that I got. Get interested. I don't even care if you have to fake it for a little bit. Fake it till you make it, because, and I actually have an activity in, I have two books. In both of my books, I have an activity on my website as downloads that are the last chapters of each book where in Suck It Up Buttercup, I have one activity. And then the other book, I have another activity. But the one in Suck It Up Buttercup, Be a Leader People Will Follow, is about personality styles. Because learning personality styles, and now I teach about it, changed my life. Because I quickly learned, Wendy, high D, dominant, direct, you run people over. You are part of the problem. And I had to learn that mistake to change.
Right.
And that's the other thing that I'm concerned about with, I don't even want to say kids, just whether they're young people or they're managers in the workplace that say, no, don't do it that way. Let me show you the way it's done. No, we have to learn from mistakes. Let people make mistakes to a degree, right? Nothing life-changing or anything like that.
Just but common mistakes.
If they make a mistake and then you talk to them about it, and this works at home too, and they get held accountable for it and you train them the right way to do it, they're going to probably say, don't want to make that mistake again.
Right.
But if you make it too easy for them to get off of that mistake or never make it because you zoomed in and fixed it for them before the mistake happened,
right,
they're never going to learn.
Right.
And so mistakes are necessary. Understanding personality styles is so, so important. Getting back to the remote workplace conversation as well, because some personality styles in person, never mind remote, they don't want to talk about your weekend or your kid's birthday or whatever it was. Other personality styles are, oh my God, let's talk. And then you have to, for me, I have to draw those boundaries with those people, be like, all right, this person over here is going to want to talk for 57 minutes about their kid's birthday, and I have 7 minutes. So, you know, I've had to learn to have the face too of be like, okay, Wendy, be open, let her talk a little bit, because right. this is really, and you know, aware. This is building your relationship with
yes.
them.
Yes.
But letting them know, I have 10 minutes. Come on in, chat, grab a coffee, but I only have 10 minutes. If it's going to be more than 10 minutes, then let's, you know, catch up after lunch or whatever right. it might be. Right. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that, you know, what you're talking about, I call them guided detours, or I call them spiritually guided detours. I don't like the word mistakes. I don't like the word act. I mean, life's designed for mistakes, but instead of harboring the mistakes in your mind, obsessing the mistakes in your mind, questioning it, getting all irritated in your mind, then irritated in your body, then it comes out physically through everybody else and you're yelling at them, or you're in a bad mood. How about learning from that? But we weren't taught that when you went to school, right. went to college, went to high school, junior. It doesn't matter. Our families, nobody said, don't worry about it. And maybe they did, maybe they didn't, but most people don't, saying, well, just don't do that again. It's kind of like when somebody comes up to me and goes, well, Philip, you're teaching me how to do this with the informational and the transformational mind and the magnetic field and then all this stuff. And that's great and everything. But how do I do it? I said, well, yes, the two W's. I have these process and procedures because I'm a dorky engineer. I have process and procedures and they work. They work for me. It's gotten me to where I'm at now since I left the working world, since the corporate world. But you have to have something. So I'm going up to say, hey, Wendy, how do I solve this problem? So, well, just, you know, you got to have a bad relationship or whatever, bad job. Why don't you go for beers? But then you lay down at night in bed, you're by yourself, or even if you're with somebody, you're still sleeping by yourself in your mind, and you're just kind of close your eyes and going, I got to think about this. I got to think about this. You got to have something to work it out. So when you make a mistake, I can't tell you how many times in my life I made a mistake, obsessed about it, told my wife I'm going to get fired, and probably the manager, whoever I was thinking about at the time, they're probably home playing with their kids and having fun. They're not thinking about me. You know, you make up these things. 99.9% of the stuff we worry about never happens. And if it does, it's completely wrong. And then you worry about what you said 5 minutes ago, even that 5 minutes ago is gone. And then you're worried about what's happening tomorrow, but tomorrow hasn't happened yet. So you're never being here now. You're so worried about it, and then you trip and fall, or you get a flat tire because you're so worried about what might happen, what did happen. You know, there was some corporate executive several decades ago said, yesterday was over at midnight. That's it. You're done. Erase it. You got to start new. If you made a mistake, if you said something wrong, we're human. Human resources lady, the HR right. lady. We've forgotten we're human. Give yourself a break.
Right. And give your people a break too, because, you know, we didn't get into our position as a manager, director, business owner without royally screwing up. And if you say you did, you're lying. And I know it.
That's right.
We've made mistakes, but mistakes are who make us who we are. You know, I always ask this when I'm on a stage speaking at a conference. I say, you know, how many people here have made a mistake? And most people raise their hands. You know, there's a few that are like, no, not me. I'm perfect.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, sure you are. Okay, over there.
You're the ones who made the biggest mistakes.
But what I also say is like, listen, have you ever had a manager make a mistake? Somebody above you? That most people usually say yes. And I always ask this. When your manager or the business owner stood up in front of everybody and said, you know what? We lost that customer. And it was my fault. Do you have more respect for them or less?
More.
More. Because yes. they're taking the blame. They're taking the credit for the mistake, and or they're just admitting it. They're saying, I sent you in this direction and we failed, but it was because of me. Or I made a decision and you guys were right. Or maybe none of us were right, but we made a mistake. Most people are trying to like hide getting caught on their mistake. When in reality, true leaders stand up and say, I made a mistake. And by leaders, I mean, you lead from where you're at. I don't care if you are new into the workforce or if you're actually the business owner.
Doesn't matter.
Leadership is not a title. It's an action. Everyone can lead.
Ooh.
Lead from where you're at by communicating better, by listening to people, by sharing your mistakes with people so that they feel like, oh, you have made a mistake before? Oh, goodness, because I have to tell you something about I just screwed up on something.
Right.
But the tough guy routine, it needs to be out of here. The youngest generations, nope, they don't care about it. They want to be human. They want empathy. They want you to listen to them. They want you to train them. It's things that all of us generations have wanted forever, but we just didn't get. And now I feel this younger generations, you know, millennials and Gen Z, they're making it happen. They're saying, you will listen to me or I will go somewhere else. And yeah. the great thing for them is today, 2024, they have that option. They have that opportunity to right. go somewhere else. Everybody's hiring. And even if they're not hiring, you could start your own business. And the younger generations, for the most part, you know, personalities withheld there. They're not afraid to fail. They're like, so what? We'll start a business. If it fails, we'll admit it and we'll move on and start a different one. I mean, whew, how cool is that?
It is. It is very cool. Let's hope they don't become tainted, you know, because a lot of people, when we're in our 20s, we talk about this now, you know, when we get to that point, if we're still here on planet Earth, a lot of them get tainted. You know, you're different in 20 than you're. And I think God bless them. I hope the whole thing changes, or a little bit changes, just a little bit, just a tiny incy bitsy. But it tends to get, you know, remember, I mean, I'm not part of the hippie generation, but the hippies want to change the world, and they became tainted, you know. So if it just shifts a tiny bit, baby steps, nothing in the world on planet Earth, everybody's like, we're going to make a big change. No, people don't like big change. People don't like change, period. People don't like big change.
Right.
And I like what you said about it's not just leadership, it's action. You know, when I'm working with this, and I learned how to do this as an engineer. I believe everything that led up to where I'm at now with the musical, with the microphone, with I'm speaking on this stuff, it led up to when, because I had to learn how to collaborate. I had to learn how to listen and shut up. Or my mother used to say, you got nothing good to say, shut your mouth. Or Fermach the Moyle, I'm Jewish. It used to be a Hebrew word saying, Fermach the Moyle, shut your mouth. And I learned, because when I went to a site and I went to Wendy and you were the engineer there, you're being yelled at, you're under pressure. You don't want to hear, I don't know nothing. I was there as a support mechanism. I'm there to collaborate. If you're the leader in your family and there's nobody else you can talk to, whether it's your wife, your friend, your husband, it doesn't matter who it is, your relative, then you're leading from the wrong place. I believe you need collaboration. You need both the yin and the yang. You need the person who's outgoing and the one that's more not outgoing. You need the ones in that light, not in the mind. The mind's different. But in the mind, you want retraction. You want retraction of the two minds. But in the real world, you want that collaboration. You want the yin and the yang. And I want to hire somebody. I'd rather pay a salesman $250,000 a year as opposed to $100,000 a year who's going to do it on their own. And they don't need me because I don't need to train them because I'm buying something that they need. They know and they're really good at. And then they know they get bonuses. I want to be paying people money. And it's coming true with what I'm doing in the musical. I'm paying people more than I ever have being on my own right now. But they know things I don't know. And when they say, Phil, do you know? And I go,
right.
No, I don't know what the heck you're just talking about. I don't know what word you just said. And it's admitting you don't know. That's a big thing to be able to do that. So we were talking about conscious communication. We talked about teams. We've covered a lot. I want you to go over your training courses. What do you offer?
So majority of the trainings that I do are focused on management. So regardless if that's, you know, a business with 6 employees and the owner happens to be the manager, that one's always dangerous too, because you're passionate about making XYZ product or XYZ service.
Good point.
But now you have to be HR and IT and ops and technical and engineering and construction, da 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 da. And, you know, your cup flows over. We might be really passionate about what we make or do, but we don't know the rules of the game in the United States, including following laws and then just understanding different personality styles, personality traits, understanding that different people want different things. And we need to figure out a way to get it for them, even if it's not with our company. Sometimes we have to let people go along their way and hopefully come back later on down the road at a different stage in our life. But I teach managers how to manage. I teach humans, I should say, how to manage other people, how to hire, how to engage, how to communicate, how to retain, how to do an interview, how to set up SMART goals, how to do feedback conversations. I when you were talking about collaborating, I was in my head thinking that song, Stop. Collaborate and listen.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? I'm a horrible singer, but I got to get that jingle going somewhere there.
Because it's share it with the composer, like, here. We'll write a song.
Right. There you go. You got all your guitars back there. Let's do that on another session there, but please don't make me sing. Everybody will hang up their phone here. So I'm the backup dancer. I'd love to take, you know, just anyone, any human who's interested in supervising another human or has been forced to, and say, let's make this easy. Let's dumb it down. It's not that complicated. The concept of management isn't that complicated. The thing that is complicated is humans. And you cannot you know, treat employee A the same as employee B. You still need to be consistent. You can't be discriminatory, but the way you have a conversation with one employee might be 3 minutes done because you've known them forever. Where this other employee, their personality style is different. They haven't had that training. They're new to your industry.
Right.
They might need a 45-minute training or conversation, but then maybe next week they come back, they only need 2 minutes. So, you know, I feel for managers. I really do, because in 2024, it is hard to be a manager post-COVID when employees are in charge, finally, and employees are demanding things, and we don't have a choice but to give it to them, or else we won't have those employees and we probably won't have any others either.
That's right. You know, I think that one of the reasons why I wanted you on the show is because how you're communicating, and you're not a normal, you are not a normal human. You're not a normal HR person. You are the HR lady, the Yoda of HR, because you put the human back in human resources. And I love it. And I really thank you for being on the show. It's been an excellent conversation. We could be talking for hours about all different stuff and how it affects this and your personal life, affects your business life and vice versa, and communicating, and you know, what you learn at work, you can take it home with your family. It's a whole thing. So before we leave, we end the show. If you could end something with a positive aphorism, something that people could take away in their lives, and it could be a sentence, a story, it could be what doesn't, it's not important. Something that I just like to leave the audience with, and even myself, to say, okay, wow, that was cool. I can learn from that.
You know, I would just say, no matter what your role is, whether you're a business owner, a manager, a supervisor, or just a good old human being in the workplace, lead from where you're at. You know, be the person that you wish somebody else was for you. When you see somebody struggling at work, doesn't mean you're responsible for them, but just, you know, a couple kind words might just help out. Or, hey, I see you're struggling. Yeah, I don't know how to do this. Oh, we have a video over here that shows you. Oh, nobody told me that. Okay, well, let me know if you need anything else again, because you may be the difference of that person walking out and never coming back.
Yeah.
They may say, you know, wow, I have great coworkers. I might not have great managers, but I have great coworkers, and then we're going to help each other through this thing called life, especially work life. So retention, attraction, it starts with everybody. We're all responsible for it. And I have to say, if we're helping our coworkers and we're saving them, even if you're thinking, I don't want to be a touchy feely person, I'm with you. I'm not that way either. Think of it this way. If they don't walk out the door, I don't have to do their work.
Bingo. You hit it. Well, Wendy, it was just great having you on the show. We would definitely have to talk again, because there's all sorts of different directions. And like normal, all my questions I didn't get to, because we just veered off. It's always good veer offs. I always like talking about it. I prepare about 20 minutes before I get on the show, because I want it to be fresh and unique and different, and just see where it goes. And I really appreciate you being on the show. Thank you very much. And remember, it is more important to express your thinking thoughts.
I don't know what happened.
And not the thoughts you are thinking. That is what is called conscious communication. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to Conscious Communication. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and recommend on Apple Podcasts, Overcast, or wherever you get your podcast. You can also get more great information at ConsciousCommunicationPodcast.com.